Hi there, kids. It's Let's Pretend time again, so all aboard for a journey to the land of fairy tales. Today's story, Jason and the Golden Fleece.
Long ago, in the golden age of the world, a boy named Jason grew up in the hills of Greece. His guardian and teacher through all his boyhood years was a wise old centaur named Chiron. And in case you're wondering about a centaur, they were strange and wonderful creatures, half horse, half man. But, of course, having grown up with Chiron, Jason didn't think he was so strange. He would ride on Chiron's back across the hills, and as they traveled, Chiron would tell Jason of the world's wonders. And then one day, Chiron took Jason to the top of a high hill.
Well, Jason, my son, look about you now. Look out over the hills and valleys of Greece.
Chiron, never have I seen such grandeur. And there, far off on the horizon, that line of blue, is that the sea?
It is indeed, Jason. The blue Aegean.
Oh, that's the sea. And somewhere on beyond, is Colchis, the country where the golden fleece may be found.
Aye, and of all the wonders that lie beyond the sea, that is first in your mind, Jason?
How could it be otherwise, Chiron? Through the years you've spoken of it till I can almost see that golden sheepskin hanging on a tree in a sacred grove. The world's greatest symbol of bravery and courage.
And it will be a brave hero who brings it home to Greece someday, where it belongs. But forget the golden fleece for now, Jason. I would have you look now towards the near seacoast. Do you see there the white roofs of a city?
Why, it looks like a toy city from here.
Aye. But near at hand, it is a rich and splendid place. The city of Iolcus. I would tell you of that city now, Jason, and what it means to you.
To me?
All the years you've lived with me here in the hills, Jason, I've told you nothing of your father except that he died when you were very young.
You told me, too, that he was of noble birth, Chiron. You gave me his golden sandals as proof.
Sandals which you have now grown old enough to wear. So you are old enough to hear the true story at last. Jason, your father was the king of that city you see below.
King.
He was murdered by a scheming fellow named Peleus, who has reigned in Iolcus ever since, wearing the crown that should by rights be yours now.
This Peleus killed my father for the crown? Chiron, and you waited till now to tell me?
I've waited till you were a man grown, yes. It will be no boy's job to regain the crown from Peleus.
Chiron, I must start at once. Will you take me on your back to the white city of Iolcus?
Easy now, Jason. There's no need for such haste. Regaining the crown will be dangerous.
You yourself have taught me, Chiron, that to hesitate before a dangerous task is to be lost.
Aye, but planning the best course of action is not hesitation. Let us return now to the valley, Jason. There is still much you should know before you go.
But Jason could not be patient. All that day and night, Chiron's words burned in his mind. And suddenly, it was still long before daybreak. Jason got up from the skins on which he'd been lying. He buckled on the golden sandals which had been his father's, grasped his spear, and ran silently forth into the night. By morning, he was far from Chiron's cave. And then his way was blocked by a rushing river.
Well, now, how do I cross this rushing torrent? There's no bridge, no boat.
And do you fear to get your golden sandals wet, Jason?
What? Oh, my old mother. How is it you call me by name?
How else should I call you? And I ask you again, Jason, why can you not cross the stream on foot? Do you wish for your teacher, Chiron, to come and carry you across on his back?
You know Chiron's name, too.
I know many things.
Aye, your eyes are strange and deep. The eyes of one who knows enchantments.
And if they are? Come now, I, too, would cross the stream, and I'm counting on you to carry me across on your back.
But, good mother, look at the speed of that current.
Oh, very well, then. I will cross by myself.
No, wait, you mustn't. Here, if you are determined to cross, it shall be on my back. Come, old mother. Here, I lean down so you can get on.
This is a little better.
Now, hold fast, and I will do my best to keep my balance so we both aren't swept away. You ready? Here we go. So far, so good.
Watch the uprooted tree there.
I'm watching, old mother. Oh, it's rocks, curse them.
Yeah, what now, Jason? What's wrong?
My sandal, it's wedged between the rocks. It's gone. It slipped off.
What's that? You've lost the sandal? I could not have wished you better luck, Jason.
Better luck? Aye. Old woman, those sandals were my father's. Now I've lost one forever.
Oh, yes. Yes, but we're safely across now. Put me down, one-sandaled man.
Gladly. And I count it very poor thanks for the crossing that you laughed so at my misfortune.
A misfortune, you call it? Jason, up in the hills with your teacher Chiron, you have not heard a certain prophecy made by the talking oak of Dodona?
What was the prophecy?
Never mind. You are on your way, even now, to the city of Iolcus to confront King Peleus, eh?
Do you know everything, old mother?
No, not everything, but... Come, Jason. Let us go on together. And soon you will see for yourself what the loss of one sandal can mean.
Well, we seem to have arrived in Iolcus on a holiday of some sort.
Aye. And look, Jason. See, up there in front of the temple, King Peleus himself.
King Peleus.
I say, look where you're going, stranger.
I beg your pardon. I was trying to get a better view.
Neptune save us. Where's your other sandal, stranger?
Why, I lost it in a stream.
Great heavens! He only wears one sandal.
The one-sandaled man has come?
What will the king say to this?
The king. Send him along to the king.
I say, wait a minute. What are you doing?
They're taking you up to see the king.
Oh, but wait.
What is this noise and confusion? Who dares to interrupt the ceremony?
Sire, this young man.
He came walking into the marketplace as bold as brass.
Look at his feet, your majesty.
His feet? Who dares come into Iolcus wearing but one sandal?
Sire, I am Jason, pupil of the centaur Chiron, and I know not why the absence of one sandal should cause such uproar.
You know not of the prophecy?
Your majesty, that too was predicted. A stranger will come unaware wearing one sandal to take away your crown.
That was the prophecy?
Silence! Silence! Is this how we welcome a stranger to Iolcus? Well, my bold Jason, pray forgive all this foolish excitement about one-sandaled men and prophecy.
Not so foolish, perhaps, sire.
Wait. Before we go on to discuss that, I would ask you one question, Jason. You have been taught by Chiron, you said, a brilliant teacher, I have heard.
He is that, your majesty.
Then show how you have profited by his training in your answer to my question.
I will do my best.
Very well. Here is the question. Suppose, Jason, that you are king of a city and suddenly a stranger stood before you. A stranger who meant doom and ruin to you. What would you do to that stranger, Jason?
It's a trap.
He would trap you in your own answer, Jason.
I expect an honest answer, Jason, since you are a pupil of Chiron. Think carefully. A stranger stands before you seeking your throne. Would you give him your throne? Or would you have him killed? Speak truthfully.
No. No, I would not have him killed. But neither would I just give him the crown. I would give him a chance to prove his right to it. I would send him forth on a quest of bravery.
Such as?
I would send him forth for the golden fleece.
Then that is what I shall do, O wise one with a single sandal. Go now, Jason. Go forth for the golden fleece.
I see. By my own words, I have committed myself. Very well, Your Majesty. I shall attempt the task. If I fail, you will not see me again. But if I succeed, your crown and throne are mine.
Come, Jason. Follow me into the forest now.
Good mother, I do not like to quarrel with you, but truly I have much to do now. A fearful task lies ahead.
Aye, and who knows it better than I, Jason? That is why I say follow. For now you need to hear words of magical wisdom. Ah, stop. Look ahead. Do you see that great oak in the clearing?
Good mother, not the great talking oak of Dodona.
Aye, that is the tree you see before you. Approach it now. Ask it the questions you would have answered about the task that lies before you.
Good mother, I apologize for hesitating. You brought me to the talking oak.
Aye, and now I have helped you all I can, Jason. Ask the talking oak what the next step is.
Oh, but wait a bit. I want to say thank you. She's vanished among the trees. Well, ask the talking oak, she said. Great oak of Dodona, how shall I gain the golden fleece? Does it speak? I hear no words.
Attend me, Jason.
Now I hear.
Bid Argus build a gallant ship.
Argus, the shipbuilder.
Summon all the heroes of Greece. Orpheus, Hercules, Typhus. Call your ship the Argo, and your crew the Argonauts.
The Argo and the Argonauts.
Steer eastward for the kingdom of Colchis.
Yes. Yes, eastward to Colchis.
Now go, Jason, for the golden fleece.
Your Majesty, King of Colchis, you are gracious to make me welcome in your court.
You have come from far away, Jason. So I pray you tell me, what has brought you on such a long and perilous voyage?
Your Majesty, I will hide nothing of my purpose. I have come seeking a special treasure. A treasure...
Father? Your pardon, but I too would meet the stranger from far off Greece.
Well, my dear, this is like you. Good Jason, forgive the interruption, but my daughter Medea does not stand on ceremony. She is known for her independent ways.
And for her beauty, too, that I am sure. Princess Medea, I salute you.
So, Jason, you actually come from far off Greece.
I, Princess.
And he was starting to tell me why when you appeared, Medea. Perhaps you will be good enough to continue now, Jason.
What? Yes, of course, Your Majesty.
My daughter also has some reputation as an enchantress, and truly she seems to have bewitched your speech away, Jason.
I'm sorry, Your Majesty, but Your Majesty, I have come to Colchis for the golden fleece.
The golden fleece?
The golden fleece!
Only if I take it home with me to Iolcus in Greece can I regain the crown which was stolen from my father by wicked King Peleus.
I see. You wish to take it home as a symbol of your bravery and daring. Very pretty.
I wish to return it to Greece where it rightfully belongs, Your Majesty.
The golden fleece is here, in my care. I yield it only to the bravest of heroes. A hero who will meet the trial I set.
What trial do you set?
Yes, Father. What trial?
The fleece is guarded, Jason, first of all, by two fire-breathing bulls with feet of brass. Conquer these and subdue them to harness, and you are halfway to the fleece.
Halfway only? What else, Your Majesty?
What else, he asked?
The prize you seek hangs on a tree. Wrapped around the trunk of that tree is a dragon whose fiery breath and white-hot fangs reach outward 40 lengths. You must slay him before you can touch the fleece.
Father, this is no trial of strength. You would send Jason to his death.
Silence, Medea. If he wants the golden fleece, that is the trial.
And I accept your challenge, Your Majesty. When may I face the fire-breathing bull?
Tomorrow, at sunrise. I leave you now. Come, Medea.
With your permission, Father, I will escort our visitor to the gate.
Very well. Tomorrow at sunrise, then, Jason.
Princess Medea, I thank you for this chance to speak with you alone.
I would wish you well, bold Jason. But only with the help of magic can you escape being burned to death by the breath of those horrible bulls. Listen now. It is true, as my father said, I have a reputation as an enchantress.
Oh, it is plain in your eyes. But I ask no help, my dear.
You ask none, no. And that is why I would give it to you. But we cannot talk here. I know. Tonight, when all the court is asleep, meet me out in the garden by the sundial.
Yes.
Till tonight, then, Jason.
Till tonight.
Jason?
Ah, I am here, Medea, by the sundial. How wonderful to hear your voice again.
Shh. Perhaps later there will be time for soft words. Look, just beyond that wall there. See the glow in the sky? Know you what that light comes from? The fiery breath of the bulls you must harness tomorrow.
I thought as much.
It is a breath that will burn you to a cinder, Jason, unless you have magic to help you. Here, take this jar. At dawn, just before you go to meet the bulls, rub yourself well with the enchanted ointment in the jar. The fiery breath will have no power to burn you then.
Dear, how can I thank you?
It is too soon to think of thanks. Even with this ointment to protect you against the fire, you still must wrestle with the bulls yourself.
With the gods' help and your blessing, Medea, I shall not fail. Ah, let the dawn come quickly now.
All right, Jason, the sun has risen. There are the bulls. Go forth and tame them if you can.
Yes, Your Majesty, I can but try.
The gods bless you, Jason.
Thank you, Medea. Now, to the bulls.
He approaches them boldly, but soon he'll feel the scorching fire of their breath. soon he'll retreat.
Forward, Jason! Forward!
Aye, come on, breathe your fire, stout fellows!
Still he advances, though the fire surrounds him. Is this magic? Medea!
Now, rush at me. Yes. Oh, there's but one course to follow. Grab you by the horns, and I am you.
He has one of them by the horns.
Swings it with a mighty strength.
It stands quiet.
Oh, so here comes the other one. Jason, at him!
Aye, come at me.
He has it by the horns. It too stands quietly.
Now, to throw the harness over you both. So, my brave beauties, you stand quiet at last. And lo, as the harness descends, your fiery breath is calmed. You breathe as barnyard creatures should. Your Majesty, behold your bulls, harnessed and quiet. Is the first task performed to your satisfaction?
No, it is not. I sense Medea's hand in this. You were helped by enchantment.
Your Majesty, you said nothing against the use of magic. I have fulfilled that task you set. May I go now to meet the dragon who guards the fleece itself?
No, you may not. You have forfeited all hope of winning the prize. Go back to your ship, Jason. And if you are wise, sail away from Colchis at once.
Jason. Oh, here you are.
But dear.
Now I seek you out, all the way to the seashore. But I had to tell you, Jason, my father does not mean to let you sail away from Colchis alive. He plans to have you and all your crew killed tonight. You must sail at once.
At once? Oh, no, Medea. I cannot sail without at least an attempt to seize the Golden Fleece.
But, Jason...
Medea, my whole hope of regaining the kingdom which is rightfully mine depends on going home with that fleece. I've not sailed so far on such a perilous voyage to return now without one more attempt.
You are determined.
If I die in the attempt, still I must make it.
Then come with me, quickly, Jason. I can at least take you safely to the grove where it hangs. Come. All right. Jason, we have come far enough into the grove. Now, look ahead.
Oh, by all the gods of Olympus... What a monster.
Aye, the dragon who guards the Golden Fleece. He is wrapped around the trunk of the tree where it hangs, so you cannot see it now. But look, even now he hears us and darts forth his fearsome head.
My spear?
No, wait. I have incense here. If the gods are willing, I can cause it to drowse. Wait, Jason, wait. Let me try. Poppy seed. And juniper, smoke from Vulcan's forge, be a spell on poison tongue, on fearful eye and gorge. Poppy seed and juniper.
Medea, like a great dying wave, he is sunk to the ground. His eyes are closed. And above him, a golden fleece. Oh, how it glows with the light of the sun.
Aye. But quickly now, Jason. I know not how long my spell will hold the dragon slumbering.
Aye. One thrust with my spear into his wicked heart. So.
Oh, that's right, Jason. Now the fleece.
I lift it down. So... Oh, I hold it. The world's treasure.
Hola! Who stands within the sacred grove?
Jason, it's my father. Flee to the Argo.
Why is the dragon silent?
Run, Jason. You have the fleece.
Not without you, Medea.
Jason,
oh, when your father discovers how you've aided me, his anger will be horrible, Medea. You dare not stay.
Hola there!
Beside, I cannot leave you, Medea. I love you. Come.
Oh, Jason, yes. But quickly, we haven't a moment to lose.
Men of the Argo, rest on your oars. We are safe. Colchis lies far behind. Gaze now at the prize which hangs on our prow, the Golden Fleece. With it, I will regain the crown of Iolcus. But never could I have achieved it without your help, and without the help of Princess Medea, who stands beside me now. Yours is the victory. Yours shall be the honor. As this golden glory returns to Greece. Forward, heroes, with the Golden Fleece!
Well, pretenders, time's up for today. But we'll be back next week with Uncle Bill and all the gang and another story just for you. Oh, yes, there'll be special music, too. So be sure to join our cruise of the airwaves to the land of Let's Pretend next week at this same time.
Don Thompson speaking. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.